Did you ever feel like, because we came from like kind of a broken family and like not a lot of money, like you had to keep up appearances to like fit in with your 100%, friends?
Yeah. I think you didn't know where I was. You're like, where's Emma? And mom's like, oh, I brought her back to the hospital. Like, I thought you didn't want her here anymore, so I brought her back to the hospital. I remember I even cried.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Because I felt so bad.
Sit back and relax as today's program guides you through all things pop culture and the deepest corners of the internet. Warning, may cause brain rot.
Hi guys, and welcome back to Brain Rot. Hi to all my brain rotters out there. I am here today with my very own sister, Emma Henry.
Hello, everybody.
If you're driving or if you are doing any activities where you can't watch this video today, then be sure to listen to the audio versions on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you can listen to podcasts. We are available everywhere. It's been so long since I've had you on my YouTube channel, I feel like. I can't remember the last video we did together. Maybe it was New York?
Oh, I guess so. I'm thinking of like a sit-down video would have been on this couch when we played Who's Most Likely To.
Oh, right? Yes. That was so long ago. That was like during the lockdowns and like we were just binging Real Housewives of New York. And no, actually Beverly Hills. It was before New York.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the Beverly Hills era.
That's wild. But we're doing a little slumber party edition today of the podcast because we just have little fun parties like every night. Like, doesn't matter what day of the week it is. We'll just like get together. We'll have some yummy food. And just right off the bat, we're going to introduce another segment of Brain Booze. You want to start with one fresh strawberry and four medium-sized basil leaves. You're going to muddle them very well so that they get all the juices and flavors out. Next, you need a 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of Aperol, and 1.5 ounces of tequila, 0.5 ounces of simple syrup. And you're going to fill your shaker with ice and shake it really vigorously because you want all the flavors to emulsify into the cocktail. Then you're going to double strain it in a Collins glass over crushed ice. You want to make sure that the wash line goes all the way to the rim of the glass, so I even add a little bit of crushed ice after. And then I clap out four medium-sized basil leaves into the drink for garnish, as well as a lemon wheel and a fresh strawberry. And voila, you have a refreshing summer beverage.
We've got the Fresa Reposado, and this is actually a Fresa Blanco, I would say, because I used a white tequila, and it's not a Reposado, but... What do you think?
It's so good. It's like so
another
refreshing.
Another classic.
It's a good like summer drink.
Yeah. You guys might recognize this because back in the day, Emma and I did a little project called Canopy Kitchen back when we were both vegan, RIP to our veganism. And these drinks were featured in the cocktail segment. I actually designed this one back when I was working for the Air Canada Signature Suite, but that was right when things got shut down. And so they never got to use it for their menu, and I never sold the rights to it. So now we all have the rights to it. but yeah, so refreshing, so nice. What is your favorite cocktail of all time?
I mean, I'm not as like well-versed in the whole world of cocktails as you are. I feel like you know all of your drinks.
It's fine.
But I mean, right now I really love... a good whiskey sour.
Yes.
And I think it's because I really learned how to make it good.
Yeah, it's not like those dive bar ones where you like go out with your friends and it's like $4 for bar rail and they just do like, you know, lemon juice, sugar, and like whatever like Jim Beam they have on the rail. It's like you have to the egg whites. What? You use Jim Beam?
I do use Jim Beam.
I mean, Jim Beam's not the problem.
I guess I need to learn what kind of... It is bourbon, right? That you use it? You need to learn like what bourbon is like... better to use in it. But yeah, right now I've just been using Jim Beam.
That's okay. I personally love Bullet Bourbon. I like Wild Turkey. There's like a few good ones, you know. Maker's Mark isn't bad.
Yeah.
There's just so many options. Elio's always acting cuckoo crazy whenever I film. So guys, just ignore him if you hear him in the backdrop.
He just wants to play with his avocado.
So I just kind of want to like introduce you to everyone again as if we have like, you know, brand new viewers, because we definitely do. So Emma and I grew up together in our small little town back in rural Ontario. There's a 4-year age gap between us. So I was the older sibling growing up. And
you always felt like you were just so much more older than me, even though like 4 years isn't a big deal right now. But back then it was like... You just felt so, like, old and mature.
It felt major.
Yeah, it was, like, a big age gap.
I think also because I was an only child for 4 years before you were born. And mom would always tell me that I was like so disgruntled by your existence because I was like the center of attention, major Leo energy. And then having Emma arrive just was not in my plans.
It's funny. And I've heard the stories.
Yeah. Like what did mom say? Like,
no, I remember the story about, yeah, you were kind of disgruntled about like my arrival and everything. Or you appeared to be. And then mom said one day, like, I think you didn't know where I was. You're like, where's Emma? And mom's like, oh, I brought her back to the hospital. Like, I thought you didn't want her here anymore. So I brought her back to the hospital. And like, you were so sad. And
oh, I feel like I've definitely heard that story before. Yeah. And like, I almost like remember it as like a core memory. Cause now that you're telling me, it like brings back that feeling. And I think, yeah, it was just that maybe my first awareness of empathy where I was like,
yeah, oh my goodness,
because I was thinking like, oh, like how could I ever be responsible for doing that to like another person, you know? And so definitely like that would have made me so sad. But yeah, I was a total bitch to you growing up. Looking back, like I feel like we were both
you know, kind of mean to each other, like I
at each other's throats,
did a few things too. So
I remember when it was like close to Christmas time and I was reading like a pop-up book with you. You would have been so young, like you probably would have been like 3 or 4 and I was I guess like 7 or 8. And I was reading the pop-up book with you and I decided to flip one of the pop-ups open and you got so mad at me that you bit me on the cheek. Like you were a biter. You were Emma the biter. And I went to Day at Aunt Jackie's and I had a bite mark on my face.
Yeah, I feel like there's a few incidences where like I really bit you. Like yes. When I get mad, I bite, I guess. Or used to, not anymore.
So true. But...
wait, so something popped out and I was scared or I didn't
No, you wanted to do all the pop-ups. You know when you would, like, pull those, like, paper things and, like, the thing would happen? And, like, I was like, I know you want to do them, but I was, like, being kind of mean and so I did it instead and then you got mad at me and bit me on the cheek. But I was probably teasing.
3 years old? Oh, my goodness.
I was, like, a major teaser. Like, one of my favorite teases for you and our sisters was whenever, like, something bad would happen to one of my siblings or they would be like mad about something or anything, I would tease them by doing this. And this is like foolproof. You will enrage people.
I know what you're gonna
and
do.
It's also deranged. You know exactly what I'm gonna do. Does that bring back like horrible memories?
Just hearing that, I'm like getting kind of triggered.
Like how did I even come up with that?
It just really, like, you know, it just got, like, people angry, like...
It's like the physical manifestation of Schadenfreude when you get, like, happiness off of someone else's, like, pain. Like, when you're enjoying the downfall of someone else, it's like you're spectating something horrible happen to someone and you're like, ooh, ah, you know. It's, like, so creepy but also so funny.
Oh, my God.
I also remember when I was your lunch helper, I was so mean to you. I remember, I don't even know if you want to talk about this.
No, I don't mind talking about
this. You don't care now,
yeah. This was what, I was in like grade 1.
I know, but it would be like a core traumatizing memory for me if it happened to me.
I mean, it was in the moment and probably for years afterwards too.
I feel guilt about things like this that I did even to this day, like obviously really? Like we're kids and whatever and like yeah, but I think about the mean things I did to my sisters and like I just feel so guilty because, you know, obviously I had more power being older and like I could like orchestrate things and like, you know, be mean. And it's your own flesh and blood, you want to stick together. I mean, we had that core value of like wanting to stick together when it counted. Like I feel like in like real situations, like yeah, I would be looking out for my sisters, but like to tease them was just as enjoyable.
Yeah, you just love teasing. Oh my gosh.
You can describe the situation if you want from your perspective.
From like how I remember it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, but you don't have to give real names.
The thing is, like, you probably have a better memory of it than I do.
Because you were younger.
Yeah, but from what I remember, I had a friend over and I think like the windows in my bedroom got foggy or something. And we wrote, like, I heart, and then it was somebody's name.
It was either that or you had written it on the bunk bed, you know,
yeah.
Like on the underside of the bunk bed. It was either that or that.
I was asking for it then.
I know, right? Like, it was, I think it was written on the underside of the bunk bed, but it might have also been written on the window.
I honestly think it was a combination. Maybe I'm just, yeah, I think it could have been a combination on the window, on the bunk bed. And then I don't know if there was also a diary involved.
Oh.
Was there?
The trifecta. There might have also been a diary. I'm not sure. I don't remember the diary. I just remember seeing, like, it staring at me in the face. Like, I don't remember, like, opening a diary and reading it. Like,
yeah.
I think it was either on the window or
It was me and my friend who had written things, like, that we, like, just the people who we had crushes on in grade one, I think.
At age six.
And I remember the names. The two names.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah, I guess you and your friend, right? Or no.
My friend Ashley?
Yeah.
I don't mind using first names.
Okay, I don't know how much to say, yeah.
No. Yeah, me and my friend Ashley, I think we're lunch helping, and she was always my partner in crime, and she was kind of my, like, intro to, like, doing bad things, because, like, I was, like, a goody two-shoes in school, but she, like, introduced me to, like, you know, being more of a rebel, which I think was so beneficial in the long run, but, like, in situations like this, it probably wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Like, she helped enable me.
So you guys were lunch helping the grade one class, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I just remember, I don't fully have a clear, like, memory of it, but just you making some sort of announcement or something to everyone, or telling a group of people, like, oh, Emma has a crush on so-and-so. And, like, doing that when you're, like, in grade one, like, so young, and, like, that's just, like, so embarrassing for people to know that you have a crush on someone. Like,
yes.
I wanted to, like, just die. I was like, oh my god, how could she do this? And then, like, you or Ashley, I'm like, do I say her name?
Yeah,
you or Ashley also said, like, my friend's crush's name too, and that she had a crush on him. And
I don't remember that part.
It wasn't as big, because I was, like, you guys first said my crush, and, like, I was the big thing, and then she was said afterwards,
mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was, like, the main topic or anything, but I remember, like, she was involved, and that's basically all I remember, but I just remember the embarrassment I felt.
I like, know, it is embarrassing.
I just was like, oh my god, like, it was just traumatizing.
Yeah, that was so evil of me, like, evil.
But I don't even remember, like, what the reactions were from classmates or anything, or like the guy.
I can tell you what I remember.
Yeah, because that's all I remember. I just remember just the feeling that I had. Yes. That's really all. I feel like maybe I, like, blocked it out of my memory. I don't know.
You, like, blacked out. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but also I was, like, six or seven or something. So I mean, I'm not gonna remember everything so
yes.
detailed. But.
Well, I'll say what I remember. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, going and doing lunch helping, and that's basically, like, where we were a couple years older, and we would just go and help out the younger students at lunchtime and, like, pretend supervise, because, like, there would always be, like, some teacher present.
Yeah.
Like, you would just be, like, helping organize the kids and whatever. And I don't think that there was, like, any, like, in my mind, there was, like, this moment where, like, the class was silent and I said to the whole class, well, Emma has a crush on blah, blah, blah. I don't remember saying who your friend had a crush on, but I must have.
I mean, you might have to say the name, because who cares?
Emma has a crush on Carter. And, yeah. And so, basically, I said that. And then, like, a group of people laughed because, like, it was, like, funny. And, like, I had called you out. And then I remember you were so embarrassed. Your face turned, like, the color of a cherry tomato.
Oh, my God.
And then Carter, I think it was Carter, went and told the teacher's assistant that I had said that you had a crush on him. And then the teacher's assistant came over and she's like, what's wrong, Emma? Like, what's happening? And then she found out that I had said that, and then she, like, was so mad at me, and she's like, that's so mean of you, I can't believe you would do that to your sister. Like, she gave me, like, a stern talking to and was, like, so mad at me, and I felt so guilty, like, I got caught. But, like, oh, at the gosh. End of the day, it's like, so-and-so has a crush on so-and-so, like, yeah.
Okay, mean, so the person, like, that I had, so he actually helped me out
then. I think he did, yeah. Okay. Like, I think, because I think
good
he also
a crush on.
I think maybe he would have been embarrassed too, which I
probably
didn't think
yeah.
of, because
yeah.
like, if you find out that someone has a crush on you and they announce it and everyone in the class knows that now this person likes this person, like, so maybe he's, like, gone on to live his life and he thinks, wow, like, Maya's older sibling, like, exposed us in grade one and I'll never trust
Emma's
that
older
bitch
sibling.
Again. Yes. Or so sorry, Emma's older sibling. Yeah, that's crazy.
So then you don't remember anything to do with, like, my other friends? And
I remember it was Taylor, it was your other friend, but I don't remember, like who her crush was or if I said
it. It was Daniel.
Okay.
Remember?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't even know if I said her crush. I think I wanted to just embarrass you, but I must have said her crush. I kind of
vaguely
remember.
Well, I wasn't sure, like, if you said mine and then your friend Ashley said Taylor's.
Ashley might have
That's
said
That's what
Taylor's.
I can remember, but I don't even know if I remember that. Exactly. So.
And do you remember the time? It was when I was in grade four. I was going through my rebel moments with Ashley, and I can't remember. I think we had like detention after school or something with Mr. Bruce. I don't fully remember.
Wait, was that because?
I don't maybe it was from this. I don't know.
I was going to say, was that because of another time when you when you forgot about me?
No, this is the time.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So,
okay.
But we were avoiding him because we didn't want to go to detention. So we just like went to the youth center after school. I know it sounds so sketchy. And we ran from school straight to the youth center. And then I forgot I was supposed to pick up Emma, who was like in kindergarten at the time, or grade one, and bring her with us. So then Mr. Bruce showed up at the youth center holding Emma's hand. Yeah, and it was embarrassing. I was like, oh my God.
I remember I think it was him who had to walk me there, right? Like, yeah. Because it was just like down the road. It wasn't
far. It was like maybe like a 5-minute walk.
Yeah. But I was like, how old was I? I guess kindergarten, right?
Yeah, you were young.
Remember, like, I think I had to hold his hand and walk with him.
Yeah, I think you had to bring me there. Kindergarten. Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny. Oh my goodness.
But how old were you then?
Grade four. I was in his class at that time.
How old are you in grade four? Like 10?
10. Yeah. I had a lot of responsibilities from a young age.
At 10 years old, you had to, like, pick me up from school and bring me somewhere? And
yeah. No. Well,
I mean, I guess... Yeah.
That's the thing. And like, you guys probably know some of the lore of like my story and like our story. Like we come from like parents that separated, and like we didn't have like the easiest childhood, you know, like we didn't have any money. And like I was kind of a co-parent in some ways. And like I don't like blame myself totally, because like, you know, it's a lot for like a kid to have to take on.
Yeah.
But like I wasn't the best co-parent, you know, but I was also a kid.
But I mean, you're not supposed to be
exactly.
Like, that's even wild to say.
And so I learned to babysit when I was 11, and mom made me go to the babysitting course so that you could, like, certify and, like, do CPR and, like, change diapers and all that stuff. So I went and did that full course for several days. Elliot was being a tyrant.
Trying to drink my cocktail.
And so I did the full babysitting course, and then I became basically like a part-time babysitter for all my sisters, like at the age of 11 onwards, because I was able to stay home alone at that point, I think. So it was interesting. And I'm sure there's lots of people out there that can relate to that, like having. And so what was that like for you, having your older sibling be the babysitter all the time, especially like me and you not getting along?
Well, I feel like you were babysitting a lot when I wasn't there.
Like when you had soccer. Yeah, or you had
like when mom
things.
Had to go and like take me to soccer, because I had soccer so much. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't have a lot of memories of you actually babysitting me.
Yeah.
It was probably usually the other girls.
Probably, because they were
what
younger.
I can remember.
So we have three other sisters. We have twin sisters, Hannah and Laura, and they are 6 years younger than me. And then we have Ava, who's 9 years younger than me. So it was definitely like a rat pack of everyone. Yeah, definitely they would remember me more so, especially as an older sibling, because nine yeah. years is a big difference. And I remember taking on the older sibling co-parent role more seriously when Ava came along, because I think I was too young to be mature with you and with Hannah and Laura, because I would have been like, you know, 4 when you were born, 6 when they were born. And then with Ava, I was 9. So I was like, I'm mature, I'm the older sibling, and I can like take care of her like a baby. So
yeah, 9 years is huge when you're a kid.
yeah I remember like when you were in 6th grade, I feel like we had like opposite, no, maybe not when you were in 6th grade, maybe when you were in 4th grade, because I would have been in 8th grade then. We had kind of like opposite vibes at a certain point, you guys, where Emma was like more preppy and popular, and I was more emo and grunge. And so yes. We were like exact opposites of each other. And I remember like you were like obsessed with like brand labels, because for some reason, and you guys would know this too, in the 2000s, like TNA, Lululemon.
Such an like, obsession of like just the actual labels being on all the shirts and sweaters. Like you had to get a shirt that said it on it. Otherwise, why would you get that shirt? Like if it was that yes. brand, you know?
Like you like, needed everyone to know that you afforded that.
It was
that.
From, yeah, that it was from Hollister. Or, like,
yes.
Abercrombie, Aeropostale, TNA.
I always hated Aeropostale. TNA was a big one.
Lululemon was actually big too.
It was huge. Like kids in grade 6 and grade 4 were getting like Lululemon leggings and sweaters.
I felt like I had to keep up with them.
Yes, keeping up
appearances.
Which was
like horrible that I felt that way. But yeah,
Did you ever feel like, because we came from like kind of a broken family and like not a lot of money, like you had to keep up appearances to like fit in with your 100%, friends?
Yeah. Because like I, like a lot of my friends, like, you know, they had money. They came from like nice families who would like buy them new clothes all the time. Like back to school shopping was a big thing.
Yeah.
Like they would get so many new clothes and shoes and bags. Same with Christmas too. And I always felt like I had to like really keep up with them and like almost like be strategic with like what I'm asking for too, like for Christmas and like my birthday, so that like I can get the most out of what I'm asking for, if that
makes
sense.
Yeah, you have to like really think ahead and make sure it's like something that will have longevity and not just something that's consumable.
Yeah, so definitely. What about you? Did you probably did?
Yeah, like, well, I would say for me it was like I feel like I had the added intersection of being a queer child, and so I didn't necessarily fit in several different ways in school. And so I didn't necessarily care about clothes so much. Like I literally would wear rags to school. I'd wear like the same shirt 5 days in a row. And someone said to me like, you love that shirt, don't you? You wear it every single day. And it's like, cause no one cared, you know, like at home, like no one really, like my mom, like mom was busy. She didn't have time to like check everything. She had five kids. And like, so I was just kind of like left to my own devices, and I didn't really care for clothes. Cause like, deep down, I remember there was one time in third grade I wore like a girl's shirt because it had like what's it called, like a lacing on the sleeves, and it just was like a string that you could tie, and then it was like a striped shirt, and I wore it, and it was like not really that girly looking except for that little tie up moment on the sleeves, and that was like the only thing that I like loved wearing because it was kind of like both. Mm-hmm. But otherwise I would wear like really baggy long t-shirts because I felt like it hid my body, and it also like made me feel like I was wearing a dress. So I'd wear like really long baggy t-shirts. Like I think some of them were dad's, to be honest. Like I would wear his t-shirts to school. Like, you know that one photo
that
of
must
me
have been
at,
a big
in the pumpkin patch?
Then. What the heck?
Oh, huge. You know the photo of me in the pumpkin patch?
Is it a green shirt?
Yeah, a huge green shirt.
It's the one I've been picturing this whole time.
And I used to wear those because I was like, oh, I'm so petite.
It like looks cute, but then it's like, maybe you shouldn't be wearing such an oversized t-shirt.
Yes.
Like when you're just, you know.
And I also remember, like, as I got older, I wanted more, like, technical things. But I knew that mom wouldn't be able to afford everything for us, you know, for Christmas. So I would save up my money from birthday and other things. And then I would give her my money so that she could subsidize part of the gift for me. So, like, I got an iPod Touch in eighth grade. And I knew that it was going to be a big deal. No one had one at the time. And I got it ahead of time because I was like, this is going to be a big deal. I've always wanted one. I've never had an iPod before. And this is going to be huge. It was an iPod second generation, 2008. It was back when they were doing, like, the shut up and let me go, hey, like, kind of music in their ads with, like, the colored backgrounds and the dancing and the music is where I want you to
touch.
Those
were when they did some really good commercials for
Apple. I loved them. But yeah, so just planning that kind of stuff. So yeah, we were in the same boat there, and yours was more like because you had friends you wanted to impress or like to stick in that group.
Yeah, no, and it was mainly like just revolved around clothes and like appearances, which sounds so crazy to say when you're like a child. You know, like why was it like that? Like crazy, I don't know.
I remember, though, like, one time I had a discussion with you when we were literally kids, and I was trying to give you advice and, like, a choose-your-own-adventure moment, and I said to you, like, if you want to be popular and you want to do this and that and you want to, like, be the
queen
bee.
Okay, I'm kind of remembering this.
Right? Right? So, like, I was very observant and perceptive as a child, but, like, I was also a queer child, and I knew, like, I stood no chance to be popular in a small-town, rural, garbage-rat school. With a bunch of imbeciles. Not everyone was imbeciles, but a lot were. I knew I stood no chance, but I also knew the perfect formula to be the popular girl because, hey.
Of course.
And so I sat you down and I was like, I know that you're already, like, pretty popular, but if you want to be the queen bee, like, these are the things
that you have to do. This sounds like a Mean Girls moment.
No, I know, but it's because I knew. And I was like, but just know that, like, you're sacrificing your individuality in order to achieve this, and that you're doing, like, this with strategy and not just to be, like, you know, your authentic self. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure I was like, you have to like wear your hair like this and like do this and that and like act this way. Like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember saying to you, like, you have the potential to be the most popular girl in school. You just have to like drive that motherfucking car. Wow. Like, yeah. So, and I feel like sometimes it takes someone on the outside to see that, you know, because like I would look at you or I would look at other people and be like, wow, like they have opportunity. They have, you know, a future in a way that I felt like I didn't have because, you know, being a queer person and like being bullied and whatever. And,
like a social future is what you're talking about?
Yeah. And okay. Just like, yeah, just like a future of things that aren't accessible by me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I was like thinking that back then. I made more friends by the time I got to eighth grade and I was more of a rebel and I just didn't give a fuck anymore. And, you know, life turns out in mysterious ways and here I am now with all of you guys. But yeah, I definitely back then was envious of the way that you moved through school versus the way that I did and like the friendships you were able to make and able to, you know, sustain. And like, you know, you had a lot of like,
yeah, public school was really good for me. Like I did have a lot of friends from like just a lot of, not even a lot of different groups, I guess just like one big friend group where we all just got along. So that was like really nice growing up because like we kind of all stuck with each other throughout public school.
Laura just Snapchatted Emma. So funny. Let's send her a snap back.
Elio, join. He looked.
So cute. I love it. So we're switching gears and we're going to do Would You Rather Extreme Get to Know Edition. And yeah, let's just see what comes up.
Okay. So the one on here, there's one that says, would you rather look like a fish or smell like a fish? Isn't that funny?
I would rather... Ooh, that's hard. Okay.
I've been told in public school, somebody...
That you look like a fish.
Somebody called me fishy, which I could, like, see if, like, I make my eyes, like...
Well, do you know what fishy means in the trans community? It means that you're, like, serving C-U-N-T, and you're, like, so on fleek, like she's
I've
fish.
I've never heard of that. So. Is that, like, a main...
No, it's only in the doll community. So,
but like it's known, like it's in the
yeah. Oh, okay. Like they'll say like there's a drag queen like on RuPaul that's like really like 100% looking female, like fresh out the vagina womb, looking XX, like she's looking so like funny. So female and fishy. They'll say she looks fishy. Okay. I don't know where that comes from. If you guys know in the comment section, let me know. But yeah, fishy.
Okay.
So it's a compliment. Yeah, I'd rather look,
rather
like, a
look
fish.
Like a fish. Yeah.
The smell of fish like, is no. So. Nope, not good. Disgusting.
Would you rather live in a world without music or a world without movies?
The vape prince is here. A world without music or movies. I'd rather live in a world without... That's hard because I'm a film major.
I have to say...
But I love music, so I'd say without movies.
Same, yeah.
Like, music, you live music, with music.
And also music that's in movies, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you're going to watch movies that's with no music?
Movies great, too. Like, as soon as you could talk in movies, they added music for a reason. Because when you live life... Yeah. There's music. You go to a bar, there's music. You go to a festival, there's music. Music yep. is life. So
exactly.
I agree. We agree on that one. Elliot, calm down, please. Speaking of music, have you been listening to anything new lately? Do you have any recommendations for our brain rotters?
I figured you would ask me this, but no. Let me see. Okay. Let me open up my Spotify.
Are you looking forward to Katy Perry's new music? Have you heard the snippet?
I haven't. I'm really bad at following along with like mainstream, like what's going on.
She's
like pop
being
culture.
Clowned because it sounds so basic. Like it's called Woman's World, and like it's just like a synth beat going like dun dun, and then she says, "She's so confident." She's so elegant. Like, it's just giving, like, paint by numbers, like, feminism. And, like, we don't know if it's going to bang. But maybe it'll be, like, an ironic bang. I don't know.
I don't know. Hopefully it's good. Because I really, like, I used to love Katy Perry.
Yeah, me too. We finally reached the point of the podcast where Elio is going to calm his titties. I love it.
But, yeah, no, I don't. I honestly...
No music recommendations from Emma, which is fine. You're a busy gal. Emma's currently working like 3-4 jobs at once. She's trying to save for her future, unlike her chaotic sister over here who's just living life on the edge. We're kind of opposites in that way. I've always said, like, you're the organized, sturdy, stable one. And I'm like the crazy, like unstable, but also pull amazing things out of my ass one. Like it could go either way with me. You never know what you're gonna get. But Emma is sturdy, strong like bull, and just like so
strong like a bull. Ooh,
I know. That's like a Russian saying, I think. We're not Russian, we're Swedish.
Yeah, but I mean it's not a good thing working like two or three jobs. Like I mean, yes, it sucks. Like it's great, like money wise, but oh my gosh, it just takes up so much of my time now. So I'm just trying to figure out how to balance all of that and like figure out also if that's the right thing for me to do right now. Like, is it worth it? Like for that to take up all of my time and energy?
Well, it's one of those things where you will look at your bank account later and be like, that was so fucking worth it. Everyone else was getting crunk and twerking in the club and I was slaying on the workforce.
Yeah. But I do like, and you always say this too, is like work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm working a little too hard right now.
Shout out to Mr. Lamb from my grade 10 math class who taught me that work smarter, not harder.
So, yeah, I feel like I just need to work a little smarter, like work a little less, but like still make the same amount of money or more, you know, just finding like different ways to do that. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Would you rather clog the toilet during a job interview or on a first date? I feel like this
job interview.
I feel like this one needs context.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a first date would be like in public, right?
No. So how are they going to know? I think they would say like
in a home.
The people would have to know. So like either at the job interview, you clog the toilet and you have to tell the person that's interviewing with you, or on the date at the person's house and you have to tell the person like I clogged your toilet. That you're on a date with. And the person that you're on a date with is like the hottest person that you're just so in love with. And then the person that you're interviewing with is for like, you know, the job you've always
your
wanted.
Dream job.
Like for Vogue, you know, you're Andy Sachs and you have to tell Miranda Priestly that you just laid a behemoth and it's clogged that toilet and it's overflowing.
Then I might say first date.
With corn. Oh, yes.
Wait.
You'd say first date?
If it's my dream job.
You're
like,
right.
I feel like that's not even like a question.
But maybe you'd still get the job. But like if you were on a date, that's like unattractive. And so
I feel like it depends on how you go about it. Like that could be funny. It depends. Like if it's the right person for you, like maybe they see the, you know.
Like if you're like, I'm so sorry, I took a huge shit in your bathroom and like I clogged the toilet. And like you're going to have to go in there and smell what just came out of me. Like your date.
Honestly, I'd probably like, I don't know if I'd be able to tell them. Like, you could actually, like, after you're in the bathroom, open up the door and go out there and tell your date that, I'm sorry, I just took a huge shit in your toilet.
You would have to,
I know.
Or they would know either way. Like, you leave and then they'd go in there and be like, holy fuck, there's, like, a fucking sycamore tree in this toilet. And it's, like, double docking on either side of the toilet bowl. And
oh
I've coined
God.
That
this
phrase.
I don't even know which one I choose now. I'm like
a double docker is when it reaches land on either side of the toilet bowl. I literally coined that phrase.
Double docker. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, now I'm like
brain rot.
Yeah, I don't know now. I mean, I feel like I would still oh my God, Elliot looks so funny right now. I would still probably choose the date, I think.
I don't blame you. I think that's like the right answer. That's the right answer because you're worrying for number one, which is yourself, and the longevity of having a job is so much more important than like a hot guy that you're on a date with, right? But I'm chaotic. So I'm like, is this the love of my life? Is this, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic.
If it is the love of your life, though.
He shouldn't care either way.
Right? But I mean, it is a first date, so you would probably care because first date, like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you care? If you were on a first date with somebody and they were at your apartment and they clogged your toilet with a double docker.
Would I call them back? I would. So, you know, like,
I guess, like, it really just depends on, like, what the person was like besides
them
doing that,
right? Yeah, if
it was
a great
right?
person and everything. Actually, I don't know. If I smelled it and it was so bad and then I just smelled it every time I thought of them. Like, you know how some smells just sink into your core and, like, you just associate?
I don't even like to think.
I've heard of people being in relationships where, like, their SO, like, they're taking a shower and their, like, partner goes in and takes a dump while they're taking a shower. I've never had that experience and I could never. Like, that would just be too much for me. I don't want to smell someone's shit. I'd rather die. I used to bully my ex if I could smell anything coming out of the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be like, that's vile. Or, like, if I saw a streak, I would be like, that's disgusting. Like, I'm very, like...
Really?
Yeah, militant about that kind of stuff. Like, just clean... Like, have, like, hygiene is my thing. Like... Clean the toilet if you're leaving remnants or
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just can't. It's too much for me. Like, it ruins, like, the attraction for me. Just that. Farting, don't care. Fart all you want. Do whatever you want. But, like, it's not a big deal if the bathroom smells like shit and someone took a dump and, like, like, that's, we're human beings. But if you leave the evidence, then I'm gonna be so mad, you know? Like, that's disgusting. I'm not staring at your fecal. Like, get out of my life.
Yeah, no, leaving evidence, of course, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. But you can't help to, like, if you have to leave a smell, you leave a smell. Like, you can't help you know?
No, yeah, yeah. So. But you can say, do you have to use the bathroom because I'm gonna, like, do an atom bomb? Then, like, that's courtesy, right? Like, the worst is if someone, like, guns for the bathroom and you have to go pee. It's, like, first thing in the morning. And then you're like, oh, now I have to go into the bathroom after you when I was just going to have a little tinkle. But, yeah.
Which one did you choose?
I think I would also choose... No, I would choose the job interview. I would. Like, I'd rather, like, clog the toilet at the job interview. Because I think I could finesse my way through that. Like, I just think... My self-esteem in a date setting, I would be like, this is so embarrassing. I don't want someone who is going to eat my ass to smell my ass, you know?
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
Wouldn't that happen anyways then?
Well, no, because, like, you make sure everything's clean and good to go.
I mean, yeah, I know, but, like, yeah, okay.
Would you rather date someone much older than you or much younger than you?
How much?
Like, let's say, like, I mean, 20 years. So 20 years older than you or 20 years younger than you. But if, I mean, like, yeah, if yeah. you're, like, say you're 40. Actually, that's kind of easy because I feel like we would both choose older. If you're 40 and they're 20 and, like, 60. Although, I don't know, actually. Okay, you're 40.
I'm not sure. Okay,
we'll say 20-year age difference. You're 40. They'll either be 20 or they'll either be 60. So you kind of have to, like... Did it say date or hookup? Because, like, I feel like hookup I could do younger.
Does it say hookup?
No, it says date.
Like, date seriously?
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Like, date.
I mean, 40, honestly... is pretty young compared to 60.
I guess so. I guess it depends.
I feel that way at least. Yeah. Like that it but 20 compared to, like, I don't know.
But like our sister Ava's 20. Like, imagine dating someone that's her age when you're 40. Like, no, you just can't imagine immature, it. That's like, you know? And not only that, I just think they're like 20's, children. 20's it's just too much.
So young.
So maybe we do 15 years. I don't know. It's like a creepy conversation to have. But I feel like, okay, so let's just like talk about what we're willing to do. So like if I, you know, was dating someone, I would rather date, I don't know. Like, because if you go equal both ways, it doesn't really matter to me because like my scale slides the same on both sides. Like I would date someone 5 years younger than me or 5 years older than me. But like how old would you go? Like I would maybe go like... So I'm 28. I could date someone maybe in their up to like maybe 37, I would say. Like, and then after that point, I would start to be like there might be like an issue. There might be like too much of a difference in generations. Mm-hmm. It depends on the person. But like after 37, I start to go like, that makes me a little uncomfortable. Like the age becomes like a thing where I would fixate on it and be like, there is an age difference. And then for younger, I would say anyone younger than, like, 24.
Like, you wouldn't date anyone younger than 24?
Like, I can't imagine dating someone at my age, 23, 22, 21. Like, no way. Like, even, like, I've had people message me that were that age or that have tried to, like, get me to go on a date with them. And they're like, oh, like, I like older women. And I'm like, I'm A, not an older woman, by the way. I'm just mature mentally. Like, I could be seen as younger, depending on the context. But mm-hmm. also, like, you are not mature. Like, I don't care what you like. It's what I like, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I feel like I could only go up to 30 maximum.
Yeah.
But I even think 30 is too old for me.
Which is crazy still... because I'm almost 30.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That makes me rethink. Yeah, I don't... 30's the max, though, for sure,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because you're...
But yeah, you're almost going to be 30.
You're only, like, 25, so...
Yeah. And then younger, at this age, I... 1 year, maybe 2 years, but...
Yeah.
I don't even want to do that, just because at this age, I feel like there is, like, a difference in, like, maturity levels, for sure.
I agree.
But if I was, like, your age, I'd probably...
Do you remember when I was, like, 23 and then there was this guy at the club that was cute and he looked way older, but he turned out to only be 19 and it, like, caught me off guard.
Was this at Wildflower?
Wildflower, yeah.
And he was 19?
Yeah, he turned out to be 19, which is shocking because, like,
How did you find that out? He told you he was 19?
I think so,
I don't believe that.
I think we, like, had each other on
social. So he was my age.
Yeah, he was your age, yeah. Which is funny because, like, I was hanging out with you and I was hanging out with Anya and it was, like, you know, maybe... He also thought I was younger. But, I mean, I was only 23. And even at that time, I was like, oh, my God. Ew, 19.
See, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, like, funny. Because that's, like, the only time I ever, like, feel like I ever, you know, had an interaction with someone.
Was
and
like
it was
younger.
Just, like, at a club we, like, met. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't typically go for that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had any interactions with anybody younger than me.
So just taking things back to childhood, I feel like a lot of you guys out there are curious, like, from Emma's perspective, what it was like to have, like, a trans sibling growing up. So I just wanted to do a little, like, segue into that and, like, how it was for Emma having me as a sibling and when she discovered I was trans and, like, what that meant to her as, like, you know, a sibling and an ally and someone who, like, knew me before and after. So... How would you describe, like, our relationship as kids to now?
I mean, I feel like we kind of already spoke about it a little bit, but as kids, like, definitely we just didn't get along. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we were constantly fighting. Like, there was no hope.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like in my mind. Like,
like, we would never, ever.
We would not become friends ever.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like looking at this moment, if I saw this happening as a kid, I feel like I would just be in shock.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah,
because it is shocking, like, how close we are considering everything. But yeah, I think honestly,
like, we hated each other.
Yeah,
and we would always be fighting. Like, yeah. Out of all the,
like,
siblings,
we were enemies.
We were enemy number one of each other, and we would use our other sisters as pawns.
Exactly. Yeah, like, it was me and you against each other. Like,
yeah,
growing up all the time. And then I guess basically as soon as you started your transition, or maybe as soon as you moved out.
Yeah, and we had that space between us.
Then we started getting along, and then especially when you started your transition, that's when we grew closer.
I remember thinking, like, when I came to Toronto, I was so surprised that life could be so different when you go out on your own, because we grew up in the middle of nowhere, small little rural town. We didn't have really hardly any neighbors, and I was always babysitting, and, like, we just were very isolated, and we had a very broken family, and so, you know, like, you would spend weeks at a time at a friend's house, or, you know, like, it was just we were very disconnected, and I think there wasn't a lot of opportunity for us to foster a healthy relationship. And then when I saw that, like, life, there's more when you move out, and, like, I moved to right downtown Toronto, I wanted to share that with you and to inspire you, I think, to, like, get out, you know, and come do something.
And that definitely inspired me. Like, I remember visiting you for the first time when you were on campus, like, living on the residence. And I was just, like, so, I don't want to say, like, jealous, but yeah, jealous, I guess. Like, just so, like, oh my gosh, like, I want this for myself too. Like,
yeah.
Seeing that you have your own space, you're downtown, and, like, you could walk anywhere and do anything you want. Like, that
the
just
freedom.
Seemed, yeah, it's the freedom of it all. So that definitely inspired me to move downtown too. Which is interesting because none of our sisters had that feeling, I feel like, of, like, wanting to live in, like, a big city, you know?
Yeah, they were a little bit more, like, homebody oriented, I guess. I think you and I grew up during the most tumultuous period of our parents separating and everything. And even you were a little bit younger, but still, like, you and I were the ones that had the most awareness. And I think for them, it was more of the way things were, like, when it was single mom situation.
Yeah, they didn't know anything different.
So it wasn't, like, this sense of loss, I think, for them. Whereas for us, and specifically for me being, like, 4 years senior to you, I just felt like things were broken and irreparable. And I had to, like, get out of that situation just because it was, like, ongoing. So... but when was the first time that you knew that I was trans?
Okay. So I always, I don't want to say I always knew that you were trans. I didn't always know that, but I always knew there was like something different. I didn't know what really though.
Yeah.
Right. Cause like, obviously like the way you like dress and behave, like, or like if you would play video games or Sims and it was always like a girl, there's like just little things like that. That was like, you know, not as, like normal, you know?
Yeah, like not typical. Like I always play as a girl. I'd always want to be Princess Peach and Mario Kart and like just like more feminine things.
Exactly, more feminine.
Dress up.
So I didn't really know what that all meant. Like I thought like in my head, like I guess probably assumed that you were gay.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, if people at school too, like sometimes they would ask questions because kids always ask questions, like they ask like the big questions. So they would always ask things and like I just always assumed
would you tell them that, like would they say like is your brother gay?
No, I wouldn't, because like you weren't.
Did you ever feel like, embarrassed though? Did you ever feel like me as your older sibling, like there was something, because in a small town, right, like
I think I did feel embarrassed but also confused, like because I couldn't answer those questions because I didn't know anything, you know.
We weren't even sexual beings, you know, like, so it was hard for me as well, because when I was asked those things, I wasn't thinking about sex.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, I remember I was, I think I was 12 years old. I think it was in 2012. And this was during when Tumblr was a big thing. And I was obsessed with Tumblr. I remember, like, for the summer.
So you discovered my Tumblr. At what age?
I think I was 12. 11 or 12. I'm going to say 12. Because I was logging in to go on my Tumblr because I was obsessed and had many different, like...
Oh, the world of Tumblr.
Blogs. I think there were blogs, right? And I would just repost things and they each had, like, their own theme. And so I went to, like, log into my Tumblr, but yours was logged in. I didn't even know that you had Tumblr, or I didn't even think about it. And I was like, oh, like, I wonder what her Tumblr's like. Not really thinking anything of it. I was just curious. And so I went to, like, the profile part or whatever. And then I think it was you treated it more of, and lots of people treated Tumblr like this, like, kind of like a diary of, like, or, like, sharing your story or, like, I don't really totally remember.
What I would do is I would upload my journal entries that I'd written by hand and scan them and put them on the computer, because I just wanted to like connect to other people that would understand my story. And so I would just like upload my journal entries about being trans.
I didn't realize you would actually upload the journal entries.
I was.
So in my head, I thought it was just like you wrote like your journal on there, basically.
I wrote a few poems, but.
Okay. So maybe I read those too then. But yeah. And then that's how I found out basically. Cause you, and again, I don't fully remember all the details, but I just remember like you treated it as like it was your journal entry. Right. And, just talking about like how you're transgender. And that's how I found out. And I was like, very like, I was shocked, but also I wasn't like, I was shocked, but I wasn't surprised. If that makes sense. Like, yeah, it was shocking. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is huge. But also in my head, it like made sense.
Yeah.
And I thought like, how did I not put this together? Like, how did I not know this? Cause like I knew what transgender was.
Oh, okay.
Like it wasn't so,
scientific common. Or so like,
well, no, it wasn't like transgender. Like, you never really met transgender people. Like, it wasn't so common then.
It seemed more like medical back then, where like people would just like, you know, go and get things fixed and then you're a girl. And like, it was just so much more simple and like life made sense, and no one, the mainstream didn't know what transgender was really. And like, people were more empathetic and they understood. And now it's been blown out of proportion. And
well,
like,
no, I would. So I think when I read it, like it wasn't as mainstream and I don't know if people would understand. But that was, I think, maybe towards the beginning of when people would, if that makes sense. So, like, when I read it, I was like, what will people think about this? Like, will people, like, you know, not support her? Like, that's what my thought process was. Or, like, my family, like, what are they going to think? Like, oh, my goodness. And then, yeah, so I read that, and I didn't tell anybody. I thought about, like, telling like my best friend, but I was like, no, like I can't do that. Cause I had read something so like personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like, that doesn't feel right. And it wouldn't have been right. But I read that. And then I did also actually read your diary too.
Like you found it.
Yeah. Cause I was cleaning, I remember. And I found, I think I was cleaning the bookshelf and I found like your journal on the bookshelf. I don't know why it was there, but it was there and I opened it up and I knew immediately what it was and I closed it and I like, I gave it to mom and I was like, mom, what is this? And I think looking back, I'm like, maybe I was trying to get her to say something to me about it. Right.
Yeah.
But she didn't say anything. She said, oh, that's Maya's. You can go put it in her bedroom. So I went to go put it in your bedroom and that's when I sat on your bed and like read some of it or maybe all of it. I don't know how much I read.
Weird. It's weird that you had that interaction with her because she never told me about that.
Yeah, but like I didn't, she didn't know that I had seen anything in it or anything about that, right?
True.
So then I read it again, invaded your privacy.
That's fine. I'd read it. I'd snoop.
And yeah, so that's when I got like the moment to be able to read it like without anybody around, like in a bedroom with the door closed, like no one was there. Whereas when I was on your Tumblr, it was like on a computer that was in like a main area.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to like had read it, but also really be digest. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So I read it all and I remember I even cried.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Because I felt so bad that I just remember thinking like, why couldn't she have just been born?
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, that's how I found out. Didn't tell anyone and then nothing really, because that was back in 2012 and I don't think you transitioned until.
Yeah, I didn't transition until 2015 is when I started like the hormones and everything.
Yeah, so there was a few years in between where like nothing had happened and I
didn't know.
Yeah, and like I didn't forget about it, but like I guess looking back on it now, I definitely wish I would have said something. Even like if just to support you.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to do it,
especially without like invading the privacy. I think I was desperate for people to know because I needed help and I felt like, you know, I wasn't getting the help and I just didn't know if people would understand or accept. And so I was just too afraid for people to be the one to tell people.
Exactly. That's why looking back now, like without a doubt, I would have definitely said something to you, like just to show my support. But at the time I was like, I'm not even supposed to be reading this. That's how I felt.
You were like probably 12 or like.
Yeah, I was 11 13. Or 12. And yeah, that's how I found out. And then you moved away a couple years after, I think, or something, right? And then I remember, because I don't think I followed you on, or maybe I did follow you on Instagram at this time. I don't know if I did. Because I feel like we had times where we weren't even Facebook friends. You know what I mean? So I didn't follow you on Instagram, but I think I went on your Instagram one time and like, saw you uploading a few photos of like you were at the
Trans Pride March.
Yeah, and you held up the flag. So
and
was
that
like,
was in 2014.
And that's when I was like, okay, I think like something's like happening here. Like something's gonna change. And then I think you came home for Christmas break.
Yes.
Like your first year of university.
Yeah.
And I just remember like we were kind of all just like in the living room, just chilling, whatever. And I remember you saying like, did you know I'm gonna become a woman? Like that's how you said it.
Yeah, I was like so like nonchalant
and I was like in my head I'm like yes I did know actually. But no,
I love that
just the way you said it. I was like it was like very like casual, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
because everybody else you had already told like I think like our family like aunts
a couple of aunts
yeah and like I had already kind of heard through the grapevine, you know, and obviously I read everything too. So yeah, you said that and I was like okay, like I don't really remember what my reaction was.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but it was kind of like a whirlwind time where like I had just decided that it was going to happen. My hair was growing longer. It was actually Christmas of my second year of university.
Oh, second year.
And I had been growing my hair out a little bit. I mean, you can roll the tapes. Like I have it all recorded on YouTube. I had a secret YouTube channel where I was uploading videos since the July of 2014. So that was like maybe 6 or 7 months prior to the December that she's talking about. But basically, I like went to Christmas Eve and we went as a family and like I wore makeup to Christmas Eve for like the first time.
Oh, like the eyeliner?
And yeah, just like whatever I had. Yes, like some.
I can remember.
I think Aunt Jackie took me to Walmart to buy some makeup. And
oh, yes.
Rebecca did my makeup like between Christmas and New Year's at some point as well. And that was the photo that I used for when I came out on Facebook in 2015, like of New Year's. And so
I forgot that you came out on Facebook. Whole post, you had a whole post. Yeah.
Yes.
Forgot about that too.
It was because I read in the news there was another trans girl named Leela Alcorn who was a little bit younger than me, and she ended up like unaliving herself because her family was unsupportive and blah blah blah. And then I was thinking like, now is the time for me to say something and like announce it, because I'm fortunate enough to have friends and family that support me, and like I just need to take life more seriously because other people aren't even given the chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like so empowered, and like I needed to do it for her memory as well, and all the memory of the people who like weren't able to survive and make it and be accepted. So yeah. And at that Christmas, like that's when Aunt Lisa was like, I'm going to start calling you Maya. And like, I told my friends that later. So we went to bars.
Like that
and
like, became your name.
Then it became my name. Yes. There you go. So.
So yeah, that was the story.
And that's it.
Yeah. And then we became good friends after that, right?
Well, we were able to trauma bond.
Yeah. I think it was the summer, I guess your first summer after you like transitioned, when you dyed your hair blonde, mm-hmm. And you moved back home for a couple months, to be a camp counselor. I remember that summer, was that the first summer?
Right? Yeah, with my bleach blonde yellow hair.
And you had just gotten your license.
Yes.
You just got your license, you just dyed your hair bleach blonde, you just became a woman, like, you know what I mean? So we had, like, such a good summer together because we could drive around and, like, just have fun in it. Yeah, I don't know, we just became
really close.
It was,
like, older sister vibes all of a sudden, and it was, like, day and night from before.
Exactly, and then just since then, it was just, like,
we were friends. A girl, not yet a woman. Yeah.
And then I think, too, like, you moving to Toronto, I would always want to, like, visit and look forward to the weekends where I knew I was visiting.
But yeah, so that was kind of the story of that. And I feel like it really cemented our friendship to today. And it's such, like, a nice journey and, like, a redemption arc.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, how our childhood could have been different too. Like, would we have gotten along if you were like born?
I think we would have. Yeah. And I also think I wouldn't have been as resentful of you, and I think I would have been in a happier place. I think I would have had more of an easy time at school, even if I could have transitioned at a younger age. Obviously, like, a lot of trans people say that, like, it just would have been like, I was going to do this anyways, right? I've already had irreversible surgeries. I've already been on hormones. Like, this could have just happened at a younger age, I think. And it would have just, like, expedited things for me. Like, just coming into my own. And, like, you know, we as human beings, we go through a lot in life. And we learn a lot of lessons the hard way. And I had to learn them pretty quickly in my, like, early 20s and, like, late teens as a woman in society. And, like, you know, whether it comes to making friends, dating, being yourself, like, you know, just doing things and, like, having to do it all on my own at once and not having any kind of, you know, experience with that.
Yeah, because, like, you're already, like, you're an adult, you're 20 years old, but you're experiencing all these things for the first time, where, like, people would have experienced them if they were, like, you know, when they're kids or teenagers, or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And like I feel like every trans girl that transitions goes through that awkward phase for the first couple of years where you're just like, don't know how to dress. You suck at doing makeup. You don't have a style and you just are like trying things out for the first time and you're awkward and you're going through it.
Well, that is how it is. But usually like you're younger, right? It's kind of like the puberty
middle school stage. Yeah. It's like the middle school moment and you're doing that as an adult. Like, do you remember that video where I had like the deer antlers and I was like, I had like a knife and I was wearing a maxi skirt and I was like being all like fantasy medieval.
You sent me that photo I think like maybe a year ago. Yeah. As like a reminder. Oh my gosh,
so bad, but
it's
so funny.
So funny, but it also like it did match the
aesthetic, the
vibe
of, those maxi skirts were a festival staple.
Yeah, and you had the black like t-shirt crop top, right?
Yeah, I would. I started borrowing clothes from you at that point.
I was gonna say, was that my top and was that my skirt?
They both were. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself
when you're 30, flirty and thriving?
When I'm 30, hopefully I have a home that I own, like myself, or a condo, like some sort of, like wherever I'm living, I own it, I hope. And Hopefully I have a baby. And that a I'm baby married to
and a marriage in 5 years. So everything which is kind that's of a important lot. In life.
But okay, if I had to be like really realistic, a home and married.
A home and marriage.
And love then that. Baby soon after.
Yes. Cheers to that. Well, I think you'll definitely achieve that. Or at least one of the three, and like the others will follow. Like I think guaranteed you'll be on the pathway for that.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, Emma. Thank you for joining us. Comment down below if you liked today's episode and if you want to see Emma back again on the pod discussing different things and maybe doing advice.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Love you so much. Love you. And I'll see you guys next time. Elio says goodbye.
Bye.